If you tried to design a wild animal that people would like, it would be hard to do better than Australia's national mascot, the koala. In Australia, there are questions about the creature's continued existence. With the first of two reports from the National Geographic Radio Expeditions, here's NPR's Alex Chadwick.
Ask a kid at an outdoor animal park near the city of Brisbane on Australia's east coast.
I think they're cute and they're a great icon for Australia, and I love them.
A koala is the eternal puppy of the adorable animal sweepstakes. Child size, like a small chimp, soulful eyes, a coat of sink-your-hands-in fur.
I think when you see them sitting here like this, they look a bit like a teddy bear.
Koala crusader Deborah Tabark, Australia famous for conservation battles and her edge. Like an animal activist love child of Mother Teresa and General Patton.
I just believe that we are destroying our planet. And I think the koalas, for me, represent what is happening to the planet. It is such a gentle animal. So I'm very happy to be the koala woman. And it gives me a platform to be able to say what I believe.
What she believes is this. The same forces that cut down ancient forests in California and scrape away mountaintops in West Virginia are at work in her country. They are logging and developing the woodlands where millions of tree-dwelling koalas once lived.
The Australian Koala Foundation believes there's probably less than 100,000 koalas in Australia left. I personally feel it's lower than that. And the only figure you can really compare it to is that in 1923, 3 million koala skins went to market. And we have historical documents that show that maybe 3 to 4 times that was shot.
They're not hunted anymore, in part because conservationists in the 30s turned koala cute into a public outcry in the country that had been the big market for furs, the U.S. Now the Australian government runs this koala hospital near Brisbane.
These are our babies that have been hand-raised due to losing their mum from car, dog, or disease.
Katrina Beng leads us into a large outdoor enclosure, sides and overhead, both made of something like chain-link fencing.
They actually come into a halfway house, which we call the kindy, before they go out into the wild.
Several young koalas cling to low saplings. In the wild, a grown koala would bite and scratch and maybe pee on you if it got the chance. But these are little orphan koalas. They just want to be held.
Just keep your hand under her bottom. She'll be fine. She's a sook.
A sook.
Softy.
They are teddy bear lookalikes, but not actual miniature bears. Koalas are marsupials, mammals like kangaroos with pouches for their young, which then spend months clinging to mom. And if no mom is handy, well...
This young koala, when she saw us walk in, she kind of climbed over on a branch that was a little closer to where I'd walked over to look at her, and reached out her forearms to me and climbed aboard.
And her name is Bindi.
Bindi?
Mm-hmm. Because she has very sharp claws.
Well, she does have sharp claws.
Yes. Yeah.
She's just over my shoulder, the way you would hold a baby and burp a baby.
Bindi. Journalists are hard. But hold a koala and you turn into a complete sap. The koala people know this and use it.
I'm Peter Thielemann, and I'm a wildlife ranger with the Queensland Parks and Wildlife Service, and I run the Koala Hospital.
Genuinely alarmed by the koala's decline, Australian activists also know what conservationists elsewhere do. To save wildlife, you must save wild lands, and the sweet koala is a powerful symbol.
You try to save habitat by using a snake or a lizard, and you won't get very far. The koala is the only animal that's ever stopped a road from being built through anywhere. And if you can save the habitat for koalas to live in, you save the habitat for a whole range of different species.
The government of Australia argues that koalas may be declining because of disease and says there probably are a lot more koalas than the activists admit. No one really knows. Last year, the U.S. government formally declared koalas a threatened species.
Thank you.
hadn't expected that big voice from such a modest size. We're at the Lone Pine Sanctuary with the manager, Paul O'Callaghan.
The males make that call mostly, and they mostly make that call during the breeding season.
There's another one answering.
Really, the main aim of it is to tell every other male and all the females, I'm here. This is mine. That's really what it's all about.
The sanctuary is a leafy setting on the Brisbane River with parrots and kangaroos and lizards and more than 100 koalas in a captive breeding program. I met Deborah Tabart here because it's so hard to find a koala in the wild, though some experts say she overstates the koala crisis.
Until such time as someone can show me hundreds of thousands of koalas, then I'll keep saying what I'm saying.
Is it a problem for you that, in fact, you're talking about an animal that's not easy to see?
Yes, well, that's really interesting. But our science is not based on seeing animals. Our science is based on picking up their poo. And so what we do is go into the bush and we do systematic checks in the bush, looking at the base of every tree, and we say, yes, there's koalas using it because there's poo here. And so we're pretty confident that a lot of our bush is empty.
And now she's made the search for koalas and their habitat much simpler. These animals eat only the leaves of eucalyptus trees. Deborah Tabart proposed using aerial surveys and scanning software to find not just forests, but individual eucalyptus trees. Her critics scoffed it was ridiculous until 18 months ago when the Australian Koala Foundation won the Computer World Prize for Innovative Technology from the Smithsonian.
What I want to do is I want to rough mud map Australia. And it's actually quite doable. It's only 2.5 million square miles. And then I want to get a sort of a rough estimate of where the koala's habitat is. I want to then slap some sort of legislation over that and say, until you can prove that your impact on that land is benign, then you can't develop.
The real issue in conservation isn't scientific, she said. It's political. The biggest fights for koalas are still to come. Tomorrow, in forestland north of Sydney, a scientist searches for koalas and an answer to the plight of their dwindling habitat. For a photo of the world's cutest koala, Bindi, and her friend Mr. Sappy, come to the NPR website. In Brisbane, Australia, for Radio Expeditions, this is Alex Chadwick, NPR News.